Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with our Amazing Race exit interview special. Today, we had interviews with our top three teams from the Amazing Race 35. And of course, we know who they are, but in the order of finish, it was the winners, Greg and John, our second place team, Joel and Garrett, and third place team, Rob and Corey. All right. So this exit interview podcast, we've got a lot to set up here. Of course, myself and Mike and Jessica recap the entire finale that's up right now here on robhasawebsite.com. First up, you're going to hear our interview with Greg and John. And then we are going to have our interview with Joel and Garrett, who were not available until later on in the day. And so that's going to be just Jess on the interview with Joel and Garrett. And I had to step out for a little while earlier today because my son Dominic was in his school fourth grade recital of the holiday performance. He had a solo. He killed it, but I was not there when we talked with Joel and Garrett. So Jess had that one. And then for our interview with Rob and Corey, Rob and Corey worked very closely with CBS PR in terms of how they wanted that interview released. And so, as per Rob and Corey, we did the video version of that. That is up on our YouTube channel if you want to check out our interview with Rob and Corey, complete with captions for maximum accessibility for our interview with Rob and Corey. That is up at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. All right. So that's the setup here for what you are about to hear. So without further ado, let's bring you our interview with the winners of the Amazing Race, Greg and John. Greg and John, you're here with Rob and Jess for RHAP. Congratulations on the big win. Incredible.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. How are you two doing now, $1 million richer?
Hey, I mean, $1 million can't get this voice back. I'm telling you, we went hard last night at the finale party. The whole cast came out. It was at a beautiful venue. All of our friends.
I've heard. Yes.
No, it was fun.
Yes.
It was great.
Yeah. I don't really have much of a voice today either. I wanted to talk a little bit about the final memory challenge. How on earth did you crush that so hard, so fast?
It was like any good Amazing Race fan knows, note-taking throughout the race and having that book studying. So we were familiar, not with every single word of every challenge, but at least the general order, and we're able to do process of elimination. The physical part was taxing. Don't let that go. Like putting the kayaks up was hard. And Joel and Garrett had a good technique of placing them down before actually committing them. But that was difficult. And on top of that, we had to do oars and match a photo of the pit stop to the country that it was in and put that on where the kayaks were lining up. So it had its own parts, but just took our time and had a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Pressure helps.
Yeah. You all had a dominant win. It seemed as though that once you got locked in, that it was first, four in a row, and then a couple of seconds as well. But it wasn't really until the back half of the race. What changed from where you were in the first part of the race till when you really got locked in?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like the biggest change was the difference between us not having a say in our directions, aka the tuk-tuks, the taxi drivers, the boat drivers, and then coming into the self-driving legs. Those self-driving legs, Johnny's great with directions. You know, I'm a good driver. We really were able to find our stride, especially like in Germany. In Germany, after we did the rappelling with the Wittens and the coins and all that, we were pretty much in last place. Other than the Philly Johns, we were pretty much in last place. And because of our directions, we were able to literally jump over everyone and go to first place. So I think the directions helped us an incredible incredible amount.
Yeah, that's really interesting because that we can always tell when people are having problems with the navigating and the driving, but it doesn't really come across in the show when people are doing well with that.
Yeah. It's editing just cuts it out and has someone just show
you just
up
get
early.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, and just get
it's
there.
It's very
for
boring.
Sure.
Yeah.
It is. But we also learned just how to race, like how to read the clue. We accidentally let our taxi go before we needed it at some points. And at the Hay Challenge, didn't know we needed to fill it up all the way. Like we just didn't read our clue. And it took five legs for us to realize, oh, we just need to read our clue.
Well, we definitely saw that attention to detail was maybe the one tiny problem that the two of you struggled with. And in that final task at the rock club, we see you messing with that amp for what felt like a very long time. How did you finally figure that out?
Shame on me because I play electric guitar for like a decade now and just haven't done something like that. You saw me try to actually get other teams to search at the same time and maybe like have them discover it with us. But it really was just like looking at every nook and cranny in those boxes and realize it is just not in the gear boxes. It's on the stage somewhere. And when you're able to scope it in that area, you have to find it.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, if you're playing electric guitar, the tiny amp is not going to have that thing that comes off the top.
Yeah. I'm not playing like La Fonda or whatever.
That's the band true. Was. Yeah.
So in this Seattle scramble, it seemed like that the one piece of this that you had the most trouble with was the glass blowing and how many attempts it took. Could you talk a little bit about the frustration of getting so close so many times?
Yeah, we got so close so many times. And that was honestly like, that was one of the more proud moments that I've had of us on the race. And I mean, Joel and Garrett, they're a great inspiration because like when you're behind like that, you really just got to keep a good attitude. And every single time we didn't get it, even if it was, you know, like whatever, that millimeter off, we were just like, all right, on to the next one. Like this next one's it. Like we're going to get this next one. But the frustration was building, especially after, you know, 30 minutes past, 35 minutes past, 45 minutes, minutes past after Joel and Garrett leave. We're like, oh, this starts look like it's gonna slip.
And you realize like one of our biggest weaknesses is we are impatient as heck with the demonstrations. in Vietnam where the rice paper challenge, we did not look at the demonstration enough and we had teams jump us. Same thing here. We refused to rewatch the demonstration. We watched it one time.
And the demonstrator was even like, are you sure you don't want to watch it again? We're like no,
it's the next one. We got it the next one.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Joel and Garrett watched it maybe three times and were able to get out. So to all those future racers, like use the demonstrators, study up. You're like a TA in college. Use them.
Yeah. So the two of you have clearly done your homework. You came in prepared. You're talking as people that carefully studied the race and how you were going to approach it. Can you tell us a little bit about your background with regard to the Amazing Race? Like, have you been longtime fans? What made you decide to go on and how did you get prepared to do it?
My girlfriend years loves everything reality TV, especially CBS. We've been watching, she got me hooked, got Gregory on. And it wasn't, until last year, we just had some time thinking about how to travel for free and put in the application. So we were one and done. Such a cringy video, genuinely. But it's that first contact. That's not what seals the deal. It's the 5 months after that first phone call, when you're doing interviews, when you're doing application packets, that you're able to say, hey, we're charming, we're well-rounded, we'd be good.
Yeah, and we love Survivor as well. Like, I think that was at least my first one that I found. And that really taught us that these are games, right? Like, you know, a lot of it's luck, but a lot of it is like, yeah, exactly, studying the game like any other game. So, you know, we really took that approach that we, you know, had with Survivor to The Amazing Race and just binged episodes, took notes. We had spreadsheets about all the different challenges and, you know, like what was the probability of detours and like what was the least amount of time. So
yeah,
really took a calculated approach.
It's easy when you're studying is watching TV. Like, yeah. The fact you tell me I need to watch episodes of Amazing Race to make money.
Twist my arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought one of your most impressive moments on the race was at the Nobel Prize dinner and how well that you two were able to ace that. Was that as straightforward as you made it seem on the show?
It was not that straightforward. We took our time. because when you get something wrong, you tend to get flustered and it's hard to correct. So I think we really tried to make sure that the order was correct on all parts of the process, from the order of the placements of years to the order of the plates Gregory gave me. So it was all about just this conversion of, okay, this index of, I'm thinking computer science, but like the index of where they sit is correlating to this finger in my hand. So just having a system and executing there.
We had also seen that challenge before, I think in like a past season in China. And so before, like when we were choosing which detour to do, we knew kind of the strategy of this one and, you know, kind of using one word instead of trying to remember the entire phrase. Mm-hmm. So we kind of came into it with a good mindset.
And we heard you discussing on this challenge and other ones, how like basic knowledge of the language helped. Did that come into play anywhere else?
Anywhere else in the race?
Yeah, anywhere else in the race.
We did a lot of, you know, note-taking of languages as we went to a country waiting at the airport. But honestly, using ASL with Rob was really delightful, and being able to practice for the first time in real life and just connect with him when we had downtime.
I mean, I watched you talking to him last night. You were so good at it. It's incredible.
I am so rusty. I'm back on classes next month. I'm getting back on the horse and then trying to, you know, and interact with people in person as much as I can.
I thought it ended up being a really nice benefit for the two of you, where you really start to come into your own after that U-turn vote ended up happening. Do you feel like that had the U-turn been later in the race that you two would have caught more first place votes?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know at least some of them, even before the U-turn vote, like, you know, leg one, leg two, like, I think Chelsea, she even admitted to us at some point. She was like, no, we were going to U-turn you guys, even though we weren't in first place, right? Like, we just kind of spreadish. And so it worked out so well for us that Steven and Lee were just killing the race. I mean, they were on fire. They were an hour ahead of everybody else at the start of that U-turn leg. So it worked out so well for us, especially being in second place and being able to jump them.
Yeah, there was a lot of heat for not putting votes on later teams and people actually doing Steven and Lee. But for second place, it makes sense because they're the ones in front from you getting first. So grateful that there were, what, five other teams that agreed with us? Four?
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. So your cast seems like you're super duper close. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a finale party that got every single racer to show up.
And with the most amount of racers ever. That's the other thing out there.
Yeah. That was incredible. So are you guys still talking regularly every day now, or how were your relationships with who are you the closest to?
Yeah, I mean, Rob and Corey, we just were with them the entire time. I mean, at some point we were just their shadow. We were just like trying to catch up with them the first time. And then it kind of got reversed in the second half of the race where, you know, they became our shadow. So it kind of felt like we were just racing against Rob and Corey the entire race. So we got to, you know them pretty, pretty well. So we love them, but the entire cast is just amazing. We have like a whole group chat that it was so fun to, you know, see people's thoughts and reactions right after the episode. And I really hope that we get to keep the bond, because I mean, the family we built is just so fun.
Yeah. My heart was breaking last night as people were heading out the door saying their flight was tomorrow morning. I was like, when am I going to see you again? I don't know. And we don't have anything to compare this to. Like, I was like, aren't all casts this close? And meeting people last night, they're like, no, I haven't seen some since, you know, 10 years ago. So hopefully we can keep that up.
Now, when you are such proficient navigators and drivers like you two ended up being, how do you deal with these teams that are following you and tailing you from place to place?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of risky on them. Like, even this past episode, Steven and Lee started following us, and it worked for Robin and Chelsea, worked for some other teams, but we ended up getting lost during Ireland. So Steven and Lee following us kind of hurt them. So it didn't bother us too much, as long as they didn't try to, you know, pass us at the very end or do anything shady. It didn't kill us, but not too much.
It's a technique, and we had our fair share of like foot race follows. It's, I think, a little bit different of a context, but you got to do what you got to do, you know. It's about getting to the mat first,
especially when you're in the back. Like, when you're in the back, it's a dog fight, you know. You just gotta just figure
no
out
rules in the back. Yeah.
So what's your policy on helping the other teams? Because we see you try to do that a little bit, or at least try to get them to help you. Do you have like set rules for that?
Yeah, looking back, I think we were pretty generous on the knowledge. Of course, it helps to be in front of the other team or have more progress to give them advice. And you saw it start to drift away too. Like once we got to Germany, Corey asked, I think at the Hay Challenge, like, what are we supposed to do? And we're just like, reach a clue. Like all the teams started getting to that point, but yeah, no real plan going in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you guys have to run and get to a lot more press today, but I just want to congratulate you two again on the very dominant win. Jess, they were my winner pick when we did picks after episode number one. So thank you, Greg, John. You made me proud, especially. So great job. Really nice to get to talk to you, and hope we get to hear more from you in the future. Okay.
Thank you so much. Love listening to your podcast.
Oh, cool. Thank you so much, guys. Yep. All right, everybody, there you have it. Greg and John, very fun to talk to. Great winners of the Amazing Race, ran an incredible race, especially the back half. So again, congratulations to those two. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Jessica Lease's interview with Joel and Garrett coming up on our exit interview special.
Joel and Garrett, hello. How are you guys doing?
Doing wonderful. Great. I'm glad we get to talk to you because I saw you last night across the room and I wanted to talk to you and then I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to you either.
I know, it was so crowded. I really wanted to talk to you guys as well. So we have the opportunity now.
Do it.
Yeah, fun times. It was wild party last night. And how are you guys recovering from everything that has happened?
We're not yet recovered. We just got back home to Idaho just now. And
we slept for maybe an hour on the plane. But besides that, we haven't slept. So,
oh, Amazing Race flashbacks, huh?
Yeah, it felt just like the race.
All right. So I want to start by talking about the last leg in Seattle. And I want to talk about the scramble a little bit, because this was kind of a new thing for Amazing Race in a final leg specifically. And I want to know, what kind of rationale did you have for choosing the tasks in the order that you did?
We strictly went by distance. Mm-hmm. We mapped it out. Glass blowing first, grunge second, grab third. We knew that after grab, there would be something else. And we didn't know, is it going to be north? Is it going to be south? So we're just like, let's just go in this order. It gives us the best chance of hopefully minimizing the amount of driving.
As a UPS driver, my mindset right away goes to whatever's closest and then just the next one and the next one and the next one, trying to get the stops off as fast as you can, you know? And being that we didn't know where the next step was going to be, we just figured, yeah, whatever's closest to us right now, that's where we'll start. And then we'll head down from there.
Yeah, and they didn't give you any indication of what the tasks were, did they?
We just knew the title of
grab, glass, and grunge.
Yep.
Right. So then at the grunge task, it seemed like two of you sped through this relatively quick compared to everybody else. And I just want to know, Joel, did Rivers Cuomo reach out to you and ask you to turn in the Weezer roadie jacket?
I'm expecting to hear from him any minute now. Dude, you're not on the crew anymore. So when we couldn't find the missing component that was inside the amplifier, the whatever that was called, I don't even know, but I was I felt so embarrassed when we finally did find it, because it took us a while to find to figure out how to open up the amp and find those and find the missing cords. And I thought when we watched the episode, the other teams were going to just find that right away for some reason.
We looked like fools or something.
But they took just as long or longer.
Luckily, everyone else also struggled with that part.
Yeah. So we figured it out eventually. And by the way, that judge deserves some credit. He didn't get as much airtime as he deserves.
Yeah, he was fun.
He was one of those funny. He was like the guy with the time zone test in Germany, I think it was, or Russia. He was funny. He was just like, are you done wasting my time yet? Like, that guy was
awesome. Stop asking for checks if you don't have it right.
Well, I always appreciate a shout out to Pencils Down Guy.
That's what it was. Pencils Down Guy. Yeah. That's who it was.
That's amazing. The two of you definitely have revealed yourselves to be deep, deep fans of the show. So tell me a little bit about your journey getting to the race. Like, which one of you is the instigator here?
It's funny because we both were in different ways. Like, I started watching the show, I think, first, but it wasn't very long before Smythe was watching with his family. I talked about being on the show, we talked about being on the show together, but going back to the beginning of this year in January was when we actually applied. And it was around Christmas time last year that we were having the discussion, like, we should actually apply. And I'm thinking, yeah, we probably will. Maybe we will. And then Smythe calls me up like a week later. He's like, all right, I'm coming over so we can film the audition tape. I'm like, oh, we're doing this. Okay, let's do it. So it took both of us to kind of move that ball forward.
I think Strauss was the original instigator. And then as time went on, I finally was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And so it took teamwork from the very start, you know?
Well, you obviously you work together very well. And it seemed to me that you came in with a pretty cohesive plan of who was going to do what and where. And can you tell me a little bit about how you prepared to come on the show?
We didn't prepare. So as soon as we heard back from The Amazing Race and we started into the casting process, that months long process, we decided, okay, we got to figure a bunch of stuff out so that we don't have to figure it out on the show. When we did a lot, I'll give you one example. Because Smythe is a UPS driver, you would assume he would drive and I would be the navigator. And we went out, his car's a stick shift. We went out to an area that we're not familiar with. And we're only allowed to use our phones for texting. And our wives would text us a location and that's it. We had to find.
It would be like, find a statue in this park.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's a town outside of here where we don't really know it. And so we have to ask somebody, we have to try to find the.
We did the Chamber of Commerce, got maps.
Try to find a map and
stop people, asked them, but we couldn't use our phone for anything else except receiving those texts. Well, we found out pretty quickly that while Smythe, yes, he is a good driver, he's an even better navigator than I am. So we switched and I became the driver and he was the navigator. And we never had to figure that out on the race. That worked from the very first self-drive in LA, from the sign to the Biltmore. And throughout the whole thing, I'm glad we didn't have to waste time. There were tons of other little things we did as well. I mean, we even recorded a bunch of them. We're going to put a video out so that future people can see like all the stuff that they should do to prepare.
His wife had bought a cabinet from IKEA, and she took the instructions out and said, here you go, put it together. And they already had one in their house that we could use for an example. And so we had to run back and forth and look at it and go back to it and build it. I mean, so the dragon, you know, 3D dragon puzzle we did, I mean, we chalk a lot of that up to the fact that we practiced doing that
before. The bee house.
The bee house, yeah.
Yeah. We hiked, there's a big hill outside of town that overlooks Boise. We put on heavy backpacks and went up and down that thing every weekend multiple times. We did a lot. We knew that this is a once in a lifetime opportunity and we're not going to waste time. We're going to do everything we can before we get there to already be ready to go.
That's incredible, because you definitely, I think on paper, you don't seem like the team that's going to be powerhouses. And yet you came in there and you were right out in front. And I really loved watching the two of you just shock everybody with how good you were at just about everything. It was really wonderful.
All that prep, though, we did a ton of prep and it was important, but it wasn't even the deciding factor in our success. The deciding factor in our success was focusing on what we could control, because The Amazing Race is all about throwing stuff at you outside. You can't control what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. Mm. You have two things you can control, your attitude and your effort. That's it. And that's everything else is just, it just comes at you constantly. But we stayed on top of our attitude and our effort the whole time. And that's what made the biggest difference for us.
When you watch the show, like any other season, you know, you'll see certain challenges and you see how they do it. And you're like, okay, I feel comfortable with that one now. But that's not the challenge you're going to get when you're on the race. And so once you get on the race and you start thinking about, I have no clue what's about to happen, it gets stressful. Like, you know, what am I going to do? But like you said, with the positivity and just knowing, you know what, whatever it is, we're going to figure it out. That's kind of just what our whole mentality was with the situation.
For me, like the river dance, for example, nothing could be further from my strengths. But I knew if I have the right attitude and I put in the effort, I'll get through this. And that's how it was with everything.
And you really rocked that. That was It was one of the harder dance tasks I've ever seen on the show, and you did amazing. So in that vein, on the attitude and the effort, I want to go back to Germany for a minute, and I want to talk about like maybe one of my favorite moments from the entire season. When the two of you assumed that you were out of the race and decided you were just going to roll with it and enjoy the rest of the leg. Mm-hmm. So after you learned that you were not, in fact, out of the race, how did you get your game faces back on?
Oh, man. Oh, it comes right back.
I know for sure what we did. As soon as that was over and we went back to the hotel that night, we emptied out half of our backpacks, left it all in the hotel. We left water shoes. We left clothes. We left
gloves, first aid kit, all this stuff.
And this is all like brand new stuff that we hadn't even used yet, you know. But at this point, we're like, we're going to lighten our bags as much as we are not going to be in the back again. And so we left all that. And I mean, our whole thought, our mind process at that point is no matter what we do, we're going to push our way through anything because, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. In that moment in Germany, we thought we knew it was going to happen. And Phil told us, you're still in the race. And we were shocked.
He chose, as you know, one of the most awkward ways to tell us we're still in the race. But we did. It wasn't that we thought we were eliminated. We knew we were eliminated. Yeah. In our minds, it was over. I was on that lock bridge for 2 hours looking for my lock. And the sun's going down. And there's nobody coming. And I keep thinking out of my peripheral vision, here comes Phil to eliminate me. I look and it was just a tourist or something. But I wasn't leaving that bridge till Phil made me leave that bridge. And we finish it, and when there's another roadblock, and we're like,
there's a detour. We tore that clue open after the lock bridge, and I was like, no, this has got to be a joke.
We just started laughing. We're like, all right, let's go do some mustard.
That's amazing. So when there was a point after the bee houses where you had to turn back and pick up your notebook and come back. In the end, did having that notebook there make a big difference at the memory challenge?
Rub it in, Jess. Rub it in.
Doesn't look like it helped, but it absolutely helped.
Yeah, we did do a lot of studying.
We knocked out that challenge so fast. And we were 99% right, 98% right. We had two canoes that needed to be flipped. We studied that notebook. So we studied this notebook so much. And we quizzed each other in the hotels, the whole plane ride back to Seattle. We were going through it together.
But you never know what they're going to ask. And so there's a lot to try to study. And so, you know, you might not focus as much on the titles of the challenges because you're thinking about, okay, what was the guest that welcomed you to the country wearing? What color was their hat? What did the scenery look like? What did the mat look like? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's so much to try to figure out. You know, the Witten coins, you know, what design was on those coins? I mean, we had even drawn a picture of that in our book because you never know what they're going to ask in the end. And so you try to study as much as you can. And
I quote, page one, leg one, first clue. Who wants to be on top of it all? It's right there.
But you weren't allowed to look at it, of course.
Oh, no. Correct. Couldn't look at it. But who wants to be on top of it all? And who wants to be above it?
Who wants a bird's eye view?
Come on. Those are so close. Yeah. So close.
Totally understandable. I think any of us would have made the same mistake. And Greg and John mentioned you had a specific strategy for the physical stacking of the kayaks. Can you tell us about that?
Once we realized that we were wrong, we didn't know what was wrong, and we started focusing on stupid things that could be wrong.
I'm an overthinker, so I'll find anything I can overthink about, and I'll overthink about it. And so, you know, at one of the stacks of kayaks, there was a space at the top, and then the two kayaks. And
so we had to shift.
Oh, maybe they need to be moved up to the top.
We even there was a kayak where the handle had broken.
Yeah, there was a handle laying on the ground. I was like, maybe the handle needs to be put back on the kayak.
So we could reaffix the handle and say, check. Like we tried everything except the obvious
thing. Yeah, you have two kayaks flipped. Yeah, the simple fact that it's just wrong, you know. And I'll tell you, we rewatched the episode already, and it's so hard to watch us like just go back and forth. And then they cut to Greg and John and they're stacking them. They cut to Corey and Rob and they cut back to us. And we're still standing there looking around at like, it's hard to watch. I'll tell you.
Well, I think you have nothing to be You have nothing to be ashamed of. You ran an absolutely incredible race, and we were really excited to see you throughout the season. And well, thank you both again for taking the time to talk to us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
I got to tell you just one more thing really quick.
Okay, one more thing.
In the last few episodes, you saw that our motivation for running the race was Smythe's daughter and how he wants to get a specialized service dog for her. And when we didn't know this was going to happen, but when that happened in the episodes, we've got an outpouring of support. Everybody wants to support. How can we help? How can we help? I created a fundraiser. The link's out there. I can get you the link if you'd be willing to share it, because the community of Amazing Race Fans is such an awesome family. And everybody wants to pitch in, and Smythe is embarrassed to ask for help, so he's not going to. But I'm not, and I want to take advantage of all this amazing family that we're a part of now, and welcome everybody. You can make a little difference and share the fundraiser and whatever, and it'll go a long way for Smythe's family. It'll mean a whole lot to us.
It's been really emotional to me to see the outpouring of support and, you know, see everybody talking about wanting it. I received private messages saying, hey, I want to help try to get your daughter a service dog. And I mean, it's just unbelievable how much people have been reaching out to try to help my daughter. And I get emotional talking about it, but I love everybody for their willingness to want to help.
Oh, well, it's really touching. And I did see the fundraiser. I'll make sure we put a link to that in the show notes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks to both of you. And don't be strangers. Okay.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks.